Hello again, and praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and I'm going to be bringing part two of the piece of literature that God gave me years ago called Baptism. It talks of water baptism and also the other baptism that many people don't believe in, and therefore they're in danger of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. God is not a ghost. You know, He's not the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Spirit. Shakespeare changed the King James Version and put it into a lot of melodic things, but the Lord is not a ghost. He is the Holy Spirit, and it states so in the original writings of the Bible. And that's why it's important for everyone to read the Bible, to study it, and if you can read Hellenic Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, you should study it in those languages too. There are bad versions of Hebrew, and there are bad versions of Hellenic Greek as well, but you just have to study and know the Spirit of the Lord so that when you pray and when you read, you'll know when you're reading the truth, because the Lord is more able to speak than even we are. He that formed the tongue, can he not speak? And he knows everything, and he's ever present, and he is constantly pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, because these are the end times. Knowledge has been increased, and therefore those of us that he uses to pour out his Spirit are preaching and teaching and increasing the knowledge of the Lord God. The Bible in the 10th chapter says the knowledge of God is what? Is revealed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we also have a few letters here this evening, and we've got some scriptures that I'd like to read. One of them is in the 8th chapter of Romans that states there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We must be in Christ, because anyone that's not in Christ is condemned. It doesn't say there's no condemnation to everybody, but it says only those that are in the body of Christ, in Christ Jesus. And those that live according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When the Spirit of Christ Jesus is in us and we are in Christ, in other words, we're into reading His Word, which is Spirit and life, then we have the power to no longer walk after the law of sin and death. All those that are not in Christ are dead and know nothing. That's why the different religions of the world are trying to do away with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it absolutely condemns every other religion. But it is very harmless, because there's no possible way that those that are into religion can get saved unless they accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not in Christ Jesus, then you're condemned. Condemned to what? Condemned to hell and the lake of fire, according to God's holy word. Jesus was not just a good man. Well, he was good, all right, but he also was God-man, and he never committed a sin, and he was able to do that, not because he had pure blood from the very beginning. One of the reverends from Texas, I heard him on TV years ago, and he did it again after I reproved and rebuked him. And he's saying that Jesus was born with pure blood, because he didn't have the Adamic sin on his soul. But the Bible tells us that he was made perfect by suffering, going through suffering. So he wasn't absolutely perfect until he was tried by Satan, and until he was tempted in every manner, and that's what made his blood so perfect, because there isn't any of us that is without sin, but Christ was made perfect because he never sinned, and his blood was then made powerful enough and holy enough to take away the sins of the world. if his blood, if he was just absolutely 100% perfect and able to be in the ministry from the very beginning, well, then there would be, we would look at him and say, of course, we can't be like Christ. But the Bible says that we are to be exactly like him, and therefore that we must partake in the sufferings that he went through in order that we can prove to the Lord that we are perfected in suffering as well. But we can do that in Christ Jesus, in the Spirit. Now, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They shall go through fire, and they are made tribulations and trials. And this is how we are made perfect as well, by taking up our cross, denying ourselves, and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask that you, let's all pray, anoint this service today so that people can have a better understanding of that he didn't come from heaven. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit, just as we now are. He was the only begotten Son of God, but then he says that later on we have the opportunity to be begotten of God, to become, when we become born again of the Spirit, we, the Bible says, become sons of God. So he was the first, and the Bible's called, he's not ashamed to call us brethren if we ourselves go through suffering. And so, Father, we ask that you make this clear to people today, to not believe the people that are from Alamo, Texas, that are, which is actually Saint what?
Saint Antonio.
San Antonio, Texas. There's a preacher there. He's well-known, big-time, and he just keeps saying that. If I think that Christ is the only one that was perfect or could be made perfect in the world, well, then I would just throw up my hands and say, well, God knows that I can't be perfect, because his blood, we're never going to have the same blood that he has. Well, we were dead before, but now we're raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit, and we are born again of the Spirit, and now we're a new creation. God created us anew by the Spirit, and now we are also made perfect by sufferings. And so, Father, anoint us in the name of Jesus, and anoint us, say, let everything that be said be scriptural, and right from the throne of your throne, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that souls may be saved, and that the church will be strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Everyone says amen.
Amen.
Oh, now, will you come here, please, and read from the second chapter of Hebrews, starting with verse 10, so that we can take this false doctrine that discourages everybody from wanting to keep the commandments of the Lord, and for everyone to think that, though Christ was the only one, we are the actual body of Christ. We are the corporate body of Christ, members of Christ's body. Therefore, we have become, through him, the only begotten Son, the first, and but now there are many sons of God. He was the first and only begotten by the Father, but now he, through suffering, has begotten us all unto the Father, so that there he has now many sons. It's what the Bible says, right?
Right.
And he had to be able to do that through suffering. He was made in every way like us. It doesn't say that he had special blood. Amen? He had Amen. Human blood. Otherwise, and it was made perfect by him never sinning. Amen?
Amen.
So much, and he had the Spirit of God in him. And therefore, the Bible also states that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, then we too shall raise from the dead and enter into the kingdom of heaven in his body as he does. So how does that make us different from him? Because he was made perfect by suffering, and that's how we have to be made perfect by suffering. We're not getting any free ride of Jesus. Did Jesus bear the cross alone and all the rest of us go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for you and for me. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, bridle your tongue. You have the power within you to do it. And bridle your mind. And you have the power of the Word of God to do that. And bridle your spirit and your soul and your body. Because we have the power, the same power, if you're born again in the Spirit, if you're in Christ Jesus, then you are able, through that Spirit of God in you, to do all things. We can do all things that Christ did in Christ Jesus. And we, with Christ in us, are more than conquerors. Not of ourselves, but by Him. And if we're obedient, then we are going to be suffering and made perfect by suffering. So let's read that so I can explain that to you. The book of Hebrews, which was written by the Holy Spirit, will tell you the same thing that I'm telling you now, which the Lord is telling you now through me. Okay, now let's read it from verse 10.
For it became him for whom are all things.
Which is Christ. It became him. In other words, it made us. It was becoming to him. Okay, then go ahead.
And by whom are all things?
He's created all things. So through him, because of his sufferings, and he was made perfect. Of course, in the beginning, he made all things, and then he became human skin, human flesh. He came into the world with skin and bone and flesh, right?
Right.
Made in every way like unto us. In every way. The same blood, the same everything. And he's talking about us after we're born again. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And he was faithful. Because there's a lot of people that become born again of the Spirit, and they are not faithful. They're not faithful. They don't keep themselves, they don't police themselves to make sure that they're perfect. And as he was perfect, they're not willing to shut their mouth. They're not willing to pay the price. They're ashamed of the gospel. They're ashamed of many different passages in the Bible. They're ashamed and afraid to say the things that the Bible says. Okay, so there's no way that they can be perfect. Christ was very bold, and the Word of God is very bold to preach the way that human life should be in order to become perfect as Christ was. Now let's continue on.
In bringing many sons unto glory.
See, many sons. It just doesn't say that you... it was beholden unto him who made everything, that he was able, by suffering, to bring many souls unto him, because he taught us that we too must deny ourselves and take up the cross. And this is how he, by us listening to his word, is able to bring many sons unto the Father. But if we don't listen to what he says, if we don't pay attention to his word, I mean strict attention to his word, and obey it, he says, you are my friends if you do everything that I say. But if you don't, many people say that they are Christians, and they live with Christianity all around them. But there was a person that somewhere I heard that there's a parable of a rock that was in water. It was just wet with water. It had been in the water for years. But somebody took it out of the water and smashed it, and it was dry inside. In other words, it's the same thing as living in Christian churches where the water of life is the drink of life and the bread of life, but inside, Christ is not in them. It's dry inside them. Amen?
Amen.
And so, if you are like one of these rocks, you haven't been broken yet by the gospel. Your heart hasn't been broken. You don't have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, or a contrite spirit or a broken heart. The Lord cannot work in a vessel that is not broken. We must break. Let the Word of God break our spirits, and let him come inside the stony heart of ours so that he can make it a heart of flesh, so that we are able to, by his Spirit living in there, instead of the dryness or an outward appearance of water or wetness on us, that we, oh, we're living among Christians. We know how to say praise the Lord, hallelujah, and amen, but we don't have Christ inside. And so therefore, there is condemnation, because the Bible, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ, and Christ is in them, who live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the Lord Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, let's continue here, because this is very important that people don't realize. And this heresy that this man, Reverend Hagee, is preaching, he says that only Christ could be perfect. And the Lord demands that we're perfect, and that we are perfect, because there's no condemnation. If there's no condemnation unto you, then you're walking in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, and therefore there's no condemnation there. Just as Jesus walked in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so he says, come and follow me. In other words, don't imitate what I did, but let the Spirit get into you, and let the Spirit lead, guide, and direct you as the Spirit led me through all my sufferings. All right? And so that I was made perfect by these sufferings. So don't despise any sufferings that you'll have to go through in this life, because by the sufferings you're made perfect. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit says. Amen. And if you want to be spiritual, if you want to be born again of the Spirit and not carnal, then you must obey what the Spirit of God says. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so continue reading.
To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
See? The captain of our salvation, which is Christ, is we're made perfect through. He was made perfect himself by suffering. Amen?
Amen.
By obedience. Amen? He was made perfect. He became glorious and above every name because he was faithful. Not because he was born faithful, but he was tempted in every way like you and I are, but he did not yield himself unto temptation. He was tempted. Oh, you can have the whole world. And all the vice and corruption in here that you want, you can have people be your slaves. But he made himself be the slave of the Lord, of God, in order that he would become perfect through the suffering of having people that he created tear his beard out and to beat him and put a crown of thorns on his head, and to beat him unmercifully to the point to where people couldn't tell whether he was a human or an animal on the cross. And some people say they strapped him unto the cross, but the Bible says that they nailed him to the cross into his hands and feet. And he took a horrible beating that our bodies could be healed. And he said, by my stripes you were healed. This took place, our healing took place back then, 2,000 years ago. So you're healed, but many Christians don't realize the things that the Lord has provided for them through his sufferings. He's provided salvation and power, which the Bible calls grace, but grace means power. By the grace of God, we shall live as Christ lived because of him living in us. Not by virtue of anything that we've ever done, but by virtue of that he went through the suffering to become the captain of our salvation. And he says, therefore, let me live in you, and that so that you are able to keep all my commandments, and so that you can walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now continue on. So he was made perfect. He wasn't perfect until he was made perfect by all the suffering he went through. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that what it says there?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so Reverend Hagee, you know, like, I love you like a brother, but don't say that anymore, because you're making people believe that, well, we could never be perfect anyway, so we might as well just go and sin. But he that sinneth is of the devil, Reverend Hagee, all right? Look at it. If a person loves If you know that I'm preaching heresy or something like that, anybody out there, tell me. Tell me what it is, because you're supposed to love me. Amen?
No.
And if I'm a heretic or some weasel, you're supposed to rebuke me and reprove me, because this is the way of life. Amen?
Amen.
And so I love Reverend Hagee, and I see just a bunch of real nice people in his church, and I don't want him to believe that, because I am reading right out of the Bible. So if he wants to twist that, well, then I don't believe that he's walking after the law of the Spirit of life, which is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So be reproved and admit it and be humble, so, and be contrite. All right? Now you say, who's this Johnny come lately, you know, coming in here and telling me what to do? Well, sir, I've been saved for 41 years, and I've been through some trials and tribulations quite a bit. And if you don't know it, I'll tell you that the world government knows it. I've been put through, and all I've done is preach the gospel to them. And I've done it because the Lord threatened me to do it. And if you say the Lord doesn't threaten people, then I have to believe that you're not walking in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Again and again, I hear, every time I tune on television, just for a few seconds, I hear this heresy. And it has to stop, because your whole congregation is going to start sinning if they don't believe that they too are the sons of God through Christ. I saw them, some of them coming down the altar, and I thought, well, what hope is there for us? The Bible says that we have hope in that we have become sons of God and that we're on our way to heaven. Amen. If we continue on in our sufferings to become perfect. Okay? Now, we don't ask and pray for suffering. That would really be heretical. You don't have to do that. It's going to come naturally. Okay? If you're really in Christ Jesus. For all who live godly in Christ Jesus, and he is in you, and you are in him, because you're into his word and into his spirit, you're going to suffer persecution. All right, so let's continue on.
Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one.
See, because he was able to sanctify us, because he is sanctified, and we are able to be just like him, sanctified like him, because we become born again according to the law of the Spirit of life. And we are able to be washed. Now, see, God doesn't have blood. God is the Spirit. And so, therefore, he sent his only begotten Son in the skin, in the flesh, in the blood of a human, so that this human blood could be perfected by suffering, so that it would be strong enough of a detergent to take away all our filthy sins. And he did it by obedience. By obedience he became perfect. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And all throughout the Bible it calls him the Son of Man. The Son of Man. God wants you to know that he was a man. And it says so right there in the Word, that he was just like us in every way. Okay, continue on.
For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Yeah, because if we become consecrated into him, he's and we're doing the same thing he did, we're not yielding ourselves unto temptation, but we are suffering. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you have done something wrong and somebody says, did you do that? And we don't lie. We tell the truth even to our own hurt. Then that's suffering, because people say, oh, I see, you know, so on and so forth. But if you're a liar and you never tell the truth, you never own up to what you're doing, is hiding Satan. And you're never going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, because you are not walking according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But you're walking according to the law of sin and death. You're too proud. You're not humble enough to admit that you've sinned and to explain how you have and to do it also before God. But if you've lied to somebody, you've got to tell them. All right? But he's not ashamed to call you a brother or a sister then, because you're like him. But if you're a dirty liar, there's no such thing as a clean liar. Amen?
Amen.
If you're filthy, then you're filthy. And nothing, there's no filth, not even one spot or blemish that shall enter the kingdom of God. This is the day after Christmas, incidentally, 2005. Okay, then what?
Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren.
See, he says, to my brethren. Do you think that he'd call a pack of liars his brethren?
No.
No. It's those that suffer that tell the truth and are open. They're like an open book. And somebody that's not ashamed of the gospel to tell it, just as it is in the Bible. Then what? But, I mean, if you're saying, because you want to hold a congregation, you know, God says we don't have to be... That's a dirty lie, okay? You're a liar if you say that the blood of Jesus was so perfect when he was born, because he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. No, our blood, and he says, there's no other blood like unto it on the face of this earth. Well, that just ain't true. He was made in every way, the Bible says, just like us. Amen?
Amen.
When he's saying us, he means those of us that have become sons of God. We're born again of the Spirit. Because he was begotten by the Holy Spirit at birth, but we become born again of the Holy Spirit later on in life whenever the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, and we want to get rid of Satan because we want the power of God in us, and then he enters into us, and then we become just exactly, we are then exactly like him in every way. Because if that is if we go and sin no more, all right, then we are consecrated. He was consecrated, and then he consecrated us unto the Lord by his Spirit being in us, and therefore we are part of his body. We are new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then continue on, please.
In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. 13, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I
am... How can you trust anybody that isn't in Christ Jesus? We know that the people in the government, how could they be in the one world government, the body, the corporate body of Antichrist, if they were to be praised by the Lord? That's the same. They're in the body of Satan. Okay? Then what?
Behold, I am the children which God hath given me.
See, I am the children... How could you be the child of God if you're a liar, or if you're a fornicator, or an adulteress, or if your mind is not totally captivated with the Lord, as Christ was? We must be like Christ in every way, because he became like us in every way, with the exception he was born again of the Spirit, and now that we are, we must come and follow him, take up the cross, deny ourselves, and follow him, and be consecrated unto him. Then what?
Verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood.
See? Then what?
He also himself likewise took part of the same.
Say, the same. The same. Flesh and blood. Not a special blood, was it?
No.
If it was the special blood, then I'd say, and a special flesh, then I'd say, well, of course he could do all the commandments, but we can't because... he was different than us, but he was not different than us in every way. Not after we're born again of the Spirit, we're just like him. Amen?
Amen.
We're certainly not the actual creator of all things as he was, but we, by adoption, have been adopted into him, and we are just like him now. Okay? Is our blood perfect to take away sin? No. Our blood is perfect enough for us to be in members of his body, and to enter the kingdom of God. But it's the same human blood that everybody else has, except we are not, we are only made perfect by doing the commandments of the Lord. No matter how it sounds, like the three Hebrew children, they stood up for the Lord until the point to where they could have said, we'll bow down before the golden idol. But they didn't say it. They says, we will not. We will not bow down to the golden idol. You want to throw us into the fire, go ahead. Because they were faithful unto the death, and that's why Jesus' blood was made perfect. Okay? If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you don't want to remain perfect because you're ashamed, or there's your mind is carnal, you're obeying the law of sin and death because you're a carnal person, well then, of course, you're not... you're condemned. You're not one of the ones of us that have no condemnation on us. And if you think that you can be born again of the Spirit and then start living after the flesh, then you're worse than any other sinner out there that never knew. You're like a dog that's gone back to its vomit, and also a sow that's gone back to the wallowing in the mire. You're sick and evil, and your brain, you've been sent strong delusions to believe that you're still a Christian. But you're living around the people that are filled with the Spirit, but you're dry inside like a rock, bone dry inside. Then what?
That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil.
Right. So he said that when we must die out to our fleshly way of living, we must go to the cross and allow ourselves to be crucified there so that we can be made consecrated unto him, so that we can be made like unto him, so that we can be made members of his body. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Right, but we don't fear death any longer because we know we have the Spirit. Unless that is that you are lying, you're a liar, and you claim that you're a Christian, and because of the fact that you talk to other people in the place where there's the people gathered together to worship the Lord or to go to the church to make out. It's like a singles bar to a lot of people. Many of them don't drink whiskey or anything like that, but they go to church for one purpose, and their mind is not on the Lord. They're not, they're condemned because they're not walking after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And they're not making themselves suffer for Christ. You know, like there is a man for every woman that Christ has from before the foundation of the earth. And if you deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord and do as the Lord says by walking under the law of the Spirit of life, then God will provide that woman for you. It's the same thing with a woman. The Lord will put you in an environment that is just perfect for you. And I'm sure Solomon had a lot of wives, and he took some wrong ones. But according to the Bible, God said that he gave a bunch of wives to David. But David made a very horrible sin by taking another man's wife. And so therefore, he had to crawl into eternity in order to stay saved. He wouldn't receive, there just wasn't anything that God could bless him for. Therefore, he took another man's wife, and all of David's wives were committed adultery on him up on the roof before God and man. And it's aired in the Bible till this very day. You can read about it. Amen?
Amen.
So, all right, then let's continue on.
Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham.
Yeah, he became a little lower than the angels. The seed of Abraham, in other words, he became a man. Okay?
Amen.
Abraham was a man. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 17, wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren.
See, in all things, it was very important for him to be made exactly like his brethren. Amen?
Amen.
But we wouldn't have had any pattern to know what it would be like to be like him unless he had been the first one to walk after the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Because it wasn't the blood in his veins that was any different than our blood, but it was by him suffering and keeping all the commandments of the Lord that his blood became perfect as a detergent to take away sin. All the sins. Anyone that comes unto his, because we accept him as our Savior, and we accept his blood as the living sacrifice, and if when we do that and we say, yes, we will do what you say, Lord, and we will walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in you, Jesus, then if we continue to the end doing that, as he did, he continued to the end until on the death of the cross. But if you say, oh, we'll do it for a few days, and then we start acting nasty again, or we start bringing false accusations against people again, or we start lying again, and we'll every so often meditate on having sexual relationships with others other than our husband or our wives, then you have unperfected yourself. And you are walking after the law of sin and death, which is satanic. And you continue in that, there's no hope for you. And the other will tell you differently that, we're the God's righteousness no matter what you sin, and God knows that none of us is perfect. Right there it says that we are perfect. We lack him. Exactly. Amen?
Amen.
It behooved him. Read that statement again.
Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren.
Right. Okay, so how could his brethren be perfect unless we had his kind of spirit in us? Amen?
Amen.
And his kind of spirit is the Holy Spirit, because he became the Holy Spirit, the life-giving spirit that enters us after we have devoted our, or that we say, we made a vow, Lord, that we're going to be cleansed. We want to be cleansed from sin so that we don't sin anymore. And we want to live after you in your spirit of the law of the Spirit of life in you, Lord, and so that we can enter heaven. If you don't have the vision of heaven, and if you don't have the vision of what hell is like, you're going to perish. You're going to fall away. You don't have a vivid concept of what you're getting yourself into. Now, hell must be so bad that the actual God himself had to come down here in the flesh and suffer in the flesh, in his skin, bones, flesh, and shed his blood. Hell is so horrible that he did that once, and he's not going to give you another break by coming back if you sin again and shed his blood again and die for you. He said, I died once, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He said, I was dead, but not anymore. I was raised by the Holy Spirit, and I'm alive forevermore. And so he said for you that we have one chance, and that's it. Now he says, I'm calling unto you, and let me enter in. And if you go ahead and trample my blood underfoot after I've washed you and cleansed you, and you are going to bring false accusations against one another, and if you're going to go along with the filth of this world, and that's your goal, and that your mind can't get off of the filth, and you want to be like some evil person in the Bible, and the Bible is filled with those kind of examples and how they went to hell, but then you're trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot and putting him out to open shame, and just making a statement that his blood is an unclean thing. It's just the same as your blood. Now, it is the same, but by suffering and by keeping all the commandments, his blood was made perfect, and he was made perfect because he continued on to the end, unto the death of the cross. And that's the only way that we're going to be called by him brothers, brethren, brothers, sisters. Okay, continue on.
That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God.
Now, what kind of a high priest would that be? He'd be just like all the other Jewish priests that sinned. He wouldn't be a priest that is able to be acquainted with our griefs and sorrows and all of our sufferings unless he went through it first and without sin. Amen?
Amen.
So he's able to know. He knows all about us. He knows what you've gone through. He sees tears that are shed because you're keeping the commandments. He knows also tears that you shed and you feel sorry for yourself. If somebody in the church has smitten you because you're a person that is a scorner, because you feel sorry for yourself, or you're not, you don't get everything your way. And because of that, the Lord just allows you to suffer all the more until you just let the Lord do with you whatever he will. Amen?
Amen.
And it pleased God that the Lord was killed, crucified on the cross, so that he could bring about many other sons of God through his sufferings. Provided we come unto him and say, yes, Lord, we'll deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow you as well, and be faithful to your word and to the obedience of it until the end, just like you were. We become just like him if we're going to make it to heaven. All right, then what?
To make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
Yes, he he was able to reconcile us to God, to those that will be, that want to reconcile others to God, those of us that will be reconciled by living in Christ. Okay, then what?
Verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
And succor them, it means to help them that are tempted. Because as it says, we become like him in Christ Jesus. We are able to do all things in Christ Jesus that he commands us to do. Don't think that you can jump off of a building or dive out of an airplane, because that isn't what he wants us to do. He wants us to be like him. Okay? He didn't, when the devil tried to tell, told him to jump off of a mountain, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He didn't eat poison because he didn't play with rattlesnakes, and you shouldn't either. Is that it? Okay, now go to Romans 8:1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ.
In Christ, okay? In Christ Jesus, right?
Right.
Then what?
Who walk not after the flesh.
Yeah, who not walk not after the flesh. You can no longer walk after the flesh if you want to be in every way like him. And if you're not every way like him, part of his body can't stay out of the kingdom of heaven, and part of his body you come into the kingdom of heaven, because you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're exactly like him. And you're only exactly like him because of the fact that he is exactly in you and you are exactly in him. Okay? It's a very exacting ministry, and I just read it to you, had it read to you through the Bible. All right? Then what?
But after the Spirit.
Read it again.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
You say, I walk in after the Spirit part of the time, but, well, you know, part of the time, I'm kind of naughty, but I'm naughty and nice. No, you're not. You've got to be like Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Perfect. Because if there's no condemnation when you, you're not condemned to hell and the lake of fire, when you walk in the Spirit, then in the Spirit you are perfect. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Right, that makes you powerful enough. In other words, that takes away the condemnation of the law, because you're now not walking in sin, but you're walking after the law of the Spirit. You're in Christ, so you're no longer condemned by the law. We were all condemned by the law. The law doesn't save anybody. It condemns everybody. And that's why we have to keep the law, because if you start breaking the law again, if you start doing things that are that Christ kept himself from, if you start doing those things again, then you're condemned. Read that again.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Right, so that means if you are free from the condemnation of the law because you're walking in the Spirit, you also, the Lord says, that if you're in the Spirit, that you're going to, on the last day, be raised up because the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit, Christ, is in you, with the Father by the Spirit. And so therefore, you're not here, you're going to be faithful to the end, and therefore you are assured that you're going to heaven. But these people, many Baptists that I know say, oh, once saved, always saved, even if we sin. And that's totally contrary from this Bible, isn't it?
Yes.
And the whole Bible is like this. Okay, but they know how to twist those scriptures, I'll tell you that. Then go ahead.
Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh.
Yeah. See, the law, because we were in the flesh, not in the Spirit. It's weak because the flesh cannot keep the commandments of the law. That's why we must be born again of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes into us, then we're more than conquerors, and we can do all things in Christ Jesus. And when we're walking after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, then we have power and dominion to do what is right, to keep the law, as Christ did. So we're made likened unto him in every way, because he was made likened unto us in every way. He showed us that a human that has human blood, skin, flesh, and bone, kept all the commandments by the Spirit, and because of his desire to do the will of the Lord. If there's no desire in you to keep the will of the Father, a lot of people think, well, if the Spirit doesn't make me do it, I'm not, I can't do it. No, that's really a cop-out that won't work at the judgment bar of God. If you think that God's going to come and make you keep the commandments, you're crazy. Because the Lord gave us a free will, and he wants us to choose to do what this Bible tells you to do. He doesn't want you to just lax up certain parts of the day, or one day you're real friendly, and the next day you're like sour or, bitter over something. Because sweet water and bitter water cannot come out of the same stream. We have to walk in the stream of the Holy Spirit, which is sweet water all the time. Amen?
Amen.
And this sweet water sometimes reproves and rebukes people, chastens them, and just our children, and does the things that the Lord did. Sometimes the Lord, did things. If you'll read the scriptures, you'll see he did a lot of different things that you in your fleshly mind may think is wrong. Like, for instance, when he fashioned a whip and whipped the money changers that were making a business out of the church, exchanging money for a profit in there, and also selling animals for sacrifices rather than raising their own animals and bringing them to be sacrificed. Of course, now Christ is the sacrifice, and animals no longer can take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus takes away sin. And that blood was made perfect by his suffering, by his obedience to his own word. He is the word of God. And so he says, if I can do it, you can do it as well. That is, if I'm in you. Because your flesh is weak, and all flesh is impossible to keep the law. That's why we have to be sure to walk after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, because in that we can do all things in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
In, quote, unquote, in Christ Jesus. And what else?
God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Yes. Right?
Right.
Just like ours. Then what?
And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Yes, he condemned sin in the flesh by keeping all the commandments by the Spirit that was in him. And by the same Spirit that enters into us when we become born again of the Spirit, we are able to condemn sin in our flesh as well. not of our own, but by the Spirit of God, the powerful Spirit of God. Not by power of might, but by the Spirit of God in us. Amen?
Amen.
We're able to do all things in Christ Jesus. And we become more than conquerors to keep the law, to don't offend the law, because if we do, the law condemns us again and there's no more sacrifice for us. Well, can't we say we're sorry? Not if you commit sins unto death. You have to keep the law. Amen? You have to keep the Spirit of life. The law, the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then continue on.
Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
See, because we're not the righteousness of the law unless the law is fulfilled in us. In other words, unless we keep the law. Amen?
Amen.
Because Christ came to not destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to show everyone by the Spirit in him that he was able to keep the entire law and keep it until the day that he was nailed to the cross. And then he says that this is the same thing that we must do. Read that again.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Right. You cannot walk in the flesh even one second. Because when you do, you're going to sin. Because the flesh is weak concerning the law, the keeping of the law. But if you're in the Spirit at all times, you have to strive to stay in the Spirit. You must will to be in the Spirit at all times. Because you have to fight. If you had the vision of heaven in your mind and saw how beautiful it was, but you can't. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the person, the soul of person, any man, woman, or child, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love him and keep his commandments, amen, by the Spirit of God in you. He keeps the law. But it has never entered into your heart. I've had visions of the suffering in hell. I've just heard it, and I saw the flames, and I saw how powerful the flames were that kept the people in hell. And it isn't where you walk around and, you know, talk to people and say this and that to them. Everyone down there is mourning and burning and screaming and not resting. Whenever you get tired and you want to sit down and just think of yourself, if you were in hell, it's good to think about this, and that you would never get to sit down again or lie down for the rest of your life, that you have to just keep working. If you don't do the works of Christ in this world now, while you're alive in this world, in this life, then you will be working throughout eternity. You'll either work here for Christ, or you're going to work forever for Satan in hell and in the lake of fire. You'll never. And the pain and the suffering is beyond explanation. Okay, now go on.
Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
See, those that are not walking after the Spirit, all they think about is the flesh all day long. They want to lust it. They want to watch TV and get involved into all the different things and look at the world and think about different people. Every boy that they see or every man that they see, I wonder what it would be like with them. Or guys that just keep looking at females and wonder what it would be like with them. And other people's wives and women that are just corrupt in all their ways. Read that again.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
That's all they do is think about that all day. They're not walking after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, are they?
No.
After the Spirit, that's the flesh, and they are reaping corruption. You see people that are just totally ungluing all over the place. They've got every kind of disease. Some of them got just the beginning of diseases. Things are wrong with them, and they're not getting anything their way. They have to actually confine themselves to the kind of life that they're living, because there's no blessing on their life, because they're walking according to the flesh. And they're condemned, and some of them are so gone that they don't even know it. God has sent them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Then go ahead.
But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Those that are really of the Spirit, that are in Christ, walking according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, they only think about the Spirit. All right? Does that seem unreasonable? Yeah, because of the preaching of Reverend Hagee and other people that say that there's the Lord just never condemns and all of his, that he just loves you unconditionally. That is a lie. You must walk after the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And you must become perfect by keeping the commandments and walking in the Spirit of the law, the Spirit of life. There's no condemnation to you if you do. But there's lots of condemnation if you don't. Then what?
Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death.
Yes, if you just think about the death, you know, carnal thing, you're dead. Then what?
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Amen. All right, so I see that our time is up. There always has to be, this is wonderful, these scriptures that refute all these the false prophets. Some of them talk so good. I want to remind you that Hitler talked very good, too. And he got everybody in Germany to believe his way. Most of them, anyway. You could just see huge armies of them. Turn on the Hitler channel, and you'll see it. And now what I'm going to do is you want to be in the Spirit so that you're not condemned. Well, the first step is to say the sinner's prayer. This is a prayer that the Lord will listen to unsaved people. There's a middle wall of partition between you and the Lord if there's sin on your soul. And if you should die this evening or whenever, tomorrow, unexpectedly, he says he'll come upon you as a thief, then you'll be in hell in the lake of fire and there's no getting out. So right now, let's say this prayer to the Lord and he will definitely save your soul. And if you've done things ignorantly, you can still be saved, but just say this prayer now. Say to the Lord and mean it to the Lord with all your heart and soul. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that you are the Son of the living God. And I believe that you died on the cross and shed your blood, your precious blood that was made perfect by your obedience to the Lord. And I believe that you shed that precious blood that I could be washed in it for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I am washed in it by faith. And I believe that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. I'm saying it again. And therefore, I know that that includes me, and I know that you've heard me and answered me. And I know, according to everything that you've said, that I'm saved. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we have to continue on. I will continue on in your spirit. I'll read and I'll pray and I'll serve you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, I know I'm saved and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'm sorry that I'm not sorry, but the Lord just led me into this without reading the letters and all these different things. But and also, we weren't able to go into part two of baptism. I just have to go by what the Lord does. And so until tomorrow, part two of baptism, may God, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, world pastor, saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.